This is part 19 of Your Life is Their Toy. Merchants in Medicine by Dr. Emanuel Josephson from 1948. Quote-unquote authorities to the attack. In October 1935, I was informed by a friendly colleague at the Cleveland Convention of the American Academy of Ophthalmology and Otolaryngology that there was a plan afoot among the overlords of the specialty to discredit my glaucoma work, without regard to facts, because of the threat it offered to their incomes from glaucoma operations. Soon afterward, Professor Harry S. Gradle, a member of the political coterie which dominates the eye section of the American Medical Association, forwarded for publication in Science an attack on my work. It was palpably false, for the professor had not even taken the trouble to find out what is my method of treatment. The editor of Science, Dr. J. McKean Cattell, gave me an opportunity to reply to the attack in the same issue. In the reply, I proved by the contents of Dr. Gradle's letter that the attack was false. On reading the reply, the professor wired a retraction of his attack, withdrawing it from publication. Professor Woods stretches a few points. 1 month later, as part of a concerted plan, there appeared in the Archives of Ophthalmology, which is the specialty journal published by the American Medical Association, a nasty, libelous attack on my glaucoma work, and a personal attack on me by Professor Alan C. Woods of Johns Hopkins Medical School. Professor Woods had not taken the trouble to find out what is my method of treatment before attacking it. He treated a few cases for a period of several days by a method which he assumed was mine. But it happened to be the very method which I condemn. The professor accidentally approximated the correct method of therapy for brief periods during the treatment of his cases. During these periods, he obtained brilliant transient results which fully confirmed my own. These he overlooked and proceeded to operate some of the cases which had given promising response. On the basis of his misapplication of the treatment, the professor condemned my method as worthless and my reports as false, but confesses ignorance. In his attack, Professor Woods derided the work of Professor Swingle and Dr. Fiffner of Princeton University on the mechanism of action of the adrenal cortex hormone, which recently has been completely confirmed. He also attacked as of questionable potency the preparation of the hormone, which is marketed under the Swingle-Fiffner patent by Park Davison Company, which was one of the preparations which I had effectively used. He concluded his comments on my work with the statement, quote, Dr. Josephson's further remarks on the relationship of the development of sex to the salt water metabolism and to glaucoma and myopia lead us into the realms of endocrine mythology, where I confess myself unable to follow, unquote. On the basis of his confessed ignorance, Professor Woods derided my views as mythologic. Fortunately, a number of research workers, including a fellow professor at Johns Hopkins Medical School, George A. Harrop, have once again proved that not all is mythologic that appears so to the less enlightened and intelligent. They have adduced evidence verifying my hypothesis on the relation of salt exchange to the sex hormones. Dr. Woods has never had the courage, the honesty, or the decency to retract the false, mean, and libelous attack on me and my work. I protested to President Isaiah Bauman and the Board of Trustees of Johns Hopkins University this perversion of academic prestige and power, but to no avail. The situation portrays the quote-unquote principles which guide modern medical education and research, and the depths of degradation to which it has fallen. I promptly called the obvious errors to Professor Wood's attention. In his reply, he tacitly acknowledged his misrepresentations regarding my method, but lamely defended his position. He agreed to request the editor of the Archives, and its publishers, the AMA, to permit me to reply and correct the false impressions that had been created. I forwarded a reply and correction to the Archives, but its editor, Dr. Arnold Knapp, flatly refused to publish it. Dr. Knapp gets a case of conscience. Several months later, I was called to the Knapp Memorial Hospital to treat for Dr. Arnold Knapp a glaucoma patient, M.S., a Brooklyn Furrier. Initially suffering from a mild case of glaucoma, he had been operated upon by Dr. Knapp 5 times in 2 months. The end result was loss of useful vision and a hopeless glaucoma that had been aggravated by the injury of the operations. I was called in consultation indirectly through a co-worker of Dr. Knapp's, Dr. Mark Schoenberg. As a sequel to this incident, Dr. Knapp, in his capacity of editor of the Archives of Ophthalmology, invited me to submit a reply to Dr. Woods's article. This he accepted after demanding revision and elimination of the most damaging parts. Several months later, Dr. Morris Fishbein, in capacity of managing editor of the AMA, overrode the editor of the Archives and barred the publication of my accepted reply. Fishbein click bars correction of false report. This episode means that Fishbein and his click are able to misrepresent to the profession and important discovery, to keep the profession in ignorance of the facts, and to deny the victims of glaucoma a means of averting almost certain blindness. So thorough is the political organization of the profession that, with rare exception, no one would dare to use the method openly and to announce good results obtained, for the clique controls the hospitals and does not hesitate to oust and, if possible, to ruin any physician who fails to do its bidding. The hostility of Fishbein and his clique toward me was accentuated, undoubtedly, by a publication made by Dr. George Cameron and myself before the Eugenic Research Association in June 1936 of the results of our studies on congenital effects of the dangerously poisonous dinotrophenol. It has been related how Fishbein and the AMA had actively sponsored it as a quote-unquote harmless reducing drug. A resolution introduced by me that called on the federal government to ban the sale of the poison was defeated by the activities of the representatives of the AMA. The presentation of scientific papers by members was eliminated later in a quote-unquote reorganization of this society. Dr. Conrad Behrens, an AMA henchman, alone represents the eye specialty on its board. Professor Merlin attacks. The hostility broke out into open warfare at the June 1936 meeting of the American Association for the Advancement of Science at Rochester. The association was then still a true scientific forum where science and not political intrigue counted. It had not yet come under the control of the Fishbein clique. As a fellow of the association, I presented the results of my method in a series of several hundred cases and replied to Dr. Wood's attack. Professor J.R. Merlin of the University of Rochester, a henchman of the AMA, took the floor at the end of the lecture. He pleaded not for science and the conquest of truth, but, like any politician, for party regularity. He attacked me bitterly for replying to Dr. Woods, pleading his absence as a defense, though the doctor had chosen to be absent with full knowledge that my paper was a reply to him. The antagonism of the AMA clique was intensified because the New York Times published, in full, my damaging statistics on the results of glaucoma operations, the first ever compiled. Quote-unquote science acquires a censor. Infuriated by this breakdown of their censorship and their failure to suppress the publications of my discoveries, the AMA clique immediately set about perfecting their machinery for the suppression of science. They demanded and secured for the AAAS an absolute censorship of all papers touching on medical topics in science, the official publication of the association. And I was notified that all contributions from me would be barred. They also took over control of the programs of the medical section at the semi-annual meetings of the association and converted it from an open forum for the announcement of medical discovery into an advertising campaign for their old war horses. Thereafter, the medical section programs consisted of quote-unquote symposiums, a high-sounding title for rehashing of ancient textbook lore. To perfect the mechanism for suppression of medical science in the American Association for the Advancement of Science, the AMA gang placed Dr. Harry S. Gradle, who has already been mentioned, in the position of representative for the eye specialty. Dr. McKean Cattell, professor of physiology at Cornell University and son of the editor, and himself co-editor of Science, was drafted into membership in the New York County Medical Society and the AMA. Thus, the AAAS became prostituted to the racketeering and politics of the AMA. Drug houses were barred from continuing any mention in their literature of my glaucoma therapy or the results obtained with it. The AMA denounced to the public as worthless all the adrenal cortex gland preparations marketed by reputable drug firms, which I used in my work, in letters addressed to the inquiring public in the following manner, quote, "The present evidence indicates that none of the commercial preparations of adrenal cortex extract contain appreciable amounts of the essential life-sustaining principle of the gland. All of them contain epinephrine, choline, histamine, and protein in greater or less amounts as contaminants." Unquote. Yours sincerely, Paul Nicholas Leach, Secretary, Council on Pharmacy and Chemistry. My name was removed from listing in the 6th edition of the American Men of Science, the directory published by the AAAS. I was banned from publication or from presentation of my work in any channel controlled by the AMA or by the AAAS. Advertising censorship and suppression of thought. In the hope that some folks might thereby be saved from blindness, I wrote a book presenting the details of my method of treatment of glaucoma and the results which I had obtained, entitled Glaucoma and Its Medical Treatment with Cortin. In the interim, the AMA had set up, with the aid of publishers, a censorship of science and medicine that bars the presentation in book form of work which they wish to suppress. Book publishers submit to the censorship of the AMA and its satellites and subsidiaries. I publish the book at my own expense. Newspapers that are supposedly reputable, such as the New York Times and the Journal American, and magazines such as Time and Science, refuse to accept advertisements of the book because the AMA objected. This made me feel that it was a silly bit of idealism and humanitarianism that impelled me to seek to make the victims a gift of my discovery. It would have yielded me greater profits to keep my secrets and exploit them. An advertisement of the book submitted to the New York Journal American brought the following reply. October 4th, 1938. Dear Dr. Josephson, supplementing our telephone conversation, we wish to advise you that your advertisement is being withheld by our board of censors, pending reply from the Medical Society of the County of New York. Very truly yours, I. Hunter. In reply, I asked whether the County Medical Society had approved the advertisement carried by the paper of Dr. Prager's cure for deafness and the advertisement of Carter's liver pills. By inference, the reply was in the affirmative. Thus have the AMA and its subsidiaries secured the full cooperation of the press in furthering their rackets and suppressing medical discovery. Freedom of thought, speech, and publication, and other constitutional rights are destroyed in medicine by the rackets built up by Simmons, his successor, and their allies. Sub rosa confirmation. In the course of this scientific gang warfare, two honest reports emerged to confirm my work. These offer proof that there are a few men of honor and spirit in the profession who refuse to be intimidated by the gang or to toady to it. Professor Swingle of Princeton University is one such character. His brilliant and fundamental work on the adrenal cortex hormone is basic. He announced at a meeting of the biologic section of the New York Academy of Science in 1938 that my Cortin treatment of glaucoma had been confirmed fully by a collaborator of his, a member of the staff of the Eye Institute of the Columbia Presbyterian Medical Center. But the publication of this confirmatory work, the professor stated, was barred by medico-political powers. A third confirmatory report by Dr. S. L. Hazeltine of Elizabeth, New Jersey, was read by him at the annual meeting of his state medical society, which is one of the few that is courageous and independent enough to denounce the corruption of its parent organization, the AMA. This report of Dr. Hazeltine's also gained publication in the December 1937 issue of the Journal of the Society. In the article, Dr. Hazeltine confirmed my discovery of the value of adrenal cortex in the treatment of both glaucoma and nearsightedness. Since the treatment of nearsightedness does not interfere with any quote-unquote accepted surgical procedure, as does the treatment of glaucoma, Dr. A.V. Prangin of the Mayo Clinic was permitted to mention it in an article in the December 1939 issue of the Archives of Ophthalmology entitled The Myopia Problem. In it, however, the discovery is accredited to Dr. Hazeltine, and no mention is made of my name, which is tabooed by the AMA. And that concludes part 19 of Your Life is Their Toy by Dr. Emmanuel Josephson.